Hi guys, I really enjoyed listening to you, Anne. I appreciate your honesty about your life. It's n never a dull moment, I would say, in my own life. I thought it was interesting when you were speaking about your diligence with watching your thoughts and how you're even noticing that there might be a tendency to turn that into, some sort of, and this is my wording, this is how I think about it, some sort of obsessive, helpful tool, but I'm going to turn it into something more than that. And I was thinking how, deceptive and sneaky and undermining this notion of ego really is, and how it can step into all kinds of disguises to, fool us if we're not, if we don't have that extra strong link to intuition and on-the-spot guidance and surety that right here in this moment, as I'm noticing this going on, I can stop and ask for help, and I'm going to get it for sure. For me, that I still have doubts around that. I would be a liar to say otherwise. And so sometimes, that kind of confusion, because how you were even describing that, I was like, wow, I can see how that would be so tricky. You're making the intent to, you have an intent to watch your thoughts and to be vigilant and to return your attention always back to yourself and remember who you are, and how the ego can use everything, how it can take everything and twist it into something that serves its own purpose. At least that's what I felt like you were saying, but you noticed that too, so that's even better. That just tells me your foundation was more grounded in truth than in that seeming like temptation, I'm going to call it. So I appreciated you sharing that. One of the things I will share on the same quote, actually, Anne, forgiveness frees us from the burden of our own thoughts. And then NTI's reading talked some about expecting human perfection from our spiritual teachers. And I certainly have been, quote, guilty of that. Expecting perfection from spiritual teachers who maybe claim they're enlightened or are maybe more popular than the normal population, so they're kind of set apart in that way. All the ways that one can become famous along in spiritual circles, and how in my own mind I hold them to a level of perfection that would probably be much higher than everyone else. And I've complained about that myself, how within my own construct, within my own family, within my own friends, there's a, at least in, and this is all in my own mind, guys, that there's a perceived sense that I have to be better than, or I've been told, I've had it said to me, for all the spiritual, for all the time you spend in church and for all the time you spend reading and meditating and writing and, blah, 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 in this particular instance, whatever it might be, you'd never know it. And so I've felt the sting of that, which is reflective of another one of our tips. I think it was in the tip this week from Regina that talked about our judgment and how we notice our judgment, because the judgments, We think we're noticing about someone else, but it's because it's in our own mind first. I mean, we're self-judging all the time. All the time. I'm not good enough. That's also been in our tips. I'm not good enough. I am bad. I'm not worthy. I could do better. I'm everything except who I really am. So yeah, and that's the burden of my own thoughts. The weight of, you're not good enough, which has, at least for me, been a consistent on and off theme for many, 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 many years. It's never good enough. It can always be better. And so my journaling on that was on perfectionistic tendencies. Because again, I talked about expecting human perfection from our spiritual teachers. And I said, I have many perfectionistic tendencies. Right now, I am living in a rental house, boxes unpacked, looking like a dorm room, a stockpile of stuff not to be settled until mid-July. To live like this, even for a short duration, in an organized disorder, has me feeling a level of anxiety that is mostly constant. I don't rest well when stuff is scattered around and not in its place. My perfectionism is in play. Also, expectations around human perfections from spiritual teachers in particular is also something that serves up disillusionment on a silver platter. So it kind of went from my own perfectionism and switched over to this, back to what NTI was talking about, expecting human perfection in a spiritual teacher. So my human perfectionism around that, expecting spiritual teachers to, maybe behave in a certain way or speak in a certain manner, not engage in certain behaviors, whatever it might be, is also so, and that serves up disillusionment for me, because my standards, for someone else, quote, are very high. They can't possibly meet them. They don't even know what they are. I don't even know what they are. I can't even meet them. So there's always that sense of disillusionment, that voice that says, see, they are a fake, no different than the rest of us, still prone to screwing up and acting and living disparate from what they say, and on and on. And there's that voice again, that burden of my own thought voice. Seeing this with eyes that are judging actions, words, behaviors, and habits of this human self, me or someone else, is to focus outside on unreality where no perfection exists. Turn your attention to the truth within. Truth, truth, truth. You are the foundation of my life. I have absolute faith in you, O truth. And that particular peace comes from Experience Your Perfect Soul, which I read from last week. And I have to laugh because when I first read that, it kind of impacted me in a couple of ways. One of the ways was it touched my heart. And in the second way, I thought it was corny. My ego thought that reminder to use those words was kind of corny. And I couldn't see myself like using those words because I don't think I'm corny. So I had all kinds of judgment going on around that particular giving, around that particular suggestion to use that. And so I'm going to go right into Experience Your Perfect Soul, which is what we've been reading from for quite some time now. And I'm in chapter 7, which is Elise Morgan. And we've been reading from A Clear Free Mind, which we started last week. And I think we read like three paragraphs of that Clear Free Mind, which I'm going to repeat again. And I'm not going to stop to comment on it. And then we'll go on to the next page. It's page 210 in case you have the book Experience Your Perfect Soul. So welcome to everybody that's here in the room and maybe listening on the radio. Do not turn away from what troubles you until you have taken truth as the foundation of your mental image. You may speak the word truth, or you may write the word truth in and through the picture. That mental image in the mind, the picture. And if your untutored mind persists in returning, keep on and on with the words truth, truth, truth. You are the foundation of my life. I have absolute faith in you, O truth. Live with the word omniscience. And Anne let me know last week, all knowing, it means all knowing. Live with the word omniscience. Refuse to dwell upon failure. See that no sense of loss, of separation, remains in the mind. Realize omniscient life ever before you, ever behind you, ever within you. Silently repeat the words, I am living, breathing, moving in omniscient life. Your whole atmosphere is redundant with the thought in which you live. Therefore, your thought must be pure and free, for its waxen form is molded in your life. Wow, what an interesting paragraph. And, don't forget, we had an injunction in the previous little paragraph that said silently, repeat the words, I am living, breathing, moving in omniscient life. Your whole atmosphere is redundant with the thought in which you live. And we live in the thought of truth. We live in the thought of omniscience or all-knowing. So that your whole atmosphere is redundant with the thought in which you live. Therefore, your thought must be pure and free, for its waxen form is molded in your life. Its waxen form is molded in your life. Give yourself space, freedom to dwell in me. Let the word of life be indelibly written in the mind. The senses quickly accept what the mind agrees to. Do not reason from without. The without changes as you turn. The without is a moving panorama. Nothing stands. Nothing abides in the fleeting mind turned to outward viewing. Light dissolves darkness, and the soul in torment is renewed. Ever must you return to the clear, open vision. Ever must you renew the eyes in love, vast, undying, limitless love, sensing it as the one power pervading your life. See the obstacle as an island to be completely dropped into the ocean of life. See power and glory shining where the obstacle formerly lodged in your mind. Hang on just a second. I really liked today's thought of awakening. Trust the awakening process. It is what it may not always, it is what it may not always seem to be. And my commentary on that was the awakening process is the awakening process, the third principle of God. Ongoing creation, manifestation within ongoing creation, showing up as a process. You are led back from slumber to awakeness of who you really are in the process. Admittance of awareness, aware of itself. Into the awakening process will help you see awakening apart from your idea of what you think awakening is, which isn't what it is. I will show you. Let the seeming go. Have no clue about what it is. It stays anchored in the foundation of itself, its own isness, while you imagine many other thoughts about what it is. You don't know or have to know. Trust me. There is a definitive quality, and the quality is in quotes, so there is a definitive quality in isness, a finalness, ultimateness, conclusiveness. No need to wonder what it is or seem to grasp intellectually what it may be. And that's a big maybe. Just trust and be done with it. This process only awakens. It does not lead to deeper slumber. It awakens. So again, trust me. And that to me is what this light dissolving darkness is referring to when I take those opportunities to journal, to meditate. I've thoroughly been enjoying Karen's meditations and have requested from her the possibility of extending them to an hour long. I listened to it for twice in a row, and so she's trying to figure out how to make that happen. And so I'll keep you guys posted for anybody that chooses to use it for longer than the 30 minutes that it's recorded at now. And I'm just going to read this from start to finish one more time. Your whole atmosphere is redundant with the thought in which you live. Therefore, your thought must be pure and free, for its waxen form is molded in your life. Give yourself space, freedom to dwell in me. Let the word of life be indelibly written in the mind. The senses quickly accept what the mind agrees to. Do not reason from without. The without changes as you turn. The without is a moving panorama. Nothing stands. Nothing abides in the fleeting mind turned to outward viewing. Light dissolves darkness, and the soul in torment is renewed. Ever must you return to the clear, open vision. Ever must you renew the eyes in love. Vast, undying, limitless love, sensing it as the one power pervading your life. See the obstacle as an island to be completely dropped into the ocean of life. See power and glory shining where the obstacle formerly lodged in your mind. You are formed in the image you dwell upon. You gravitate toward the object you love. Do not dwell on ways apart from me. If you believe in me, follow me in shining trust. Instantly turn from division. Not two lives, not two loves, not two ways of living. And Karen Worth, in one of the meditations, she talks about a Ramana Maharshi piece where we are asked to, there's a questioner asking a question about, and this isn't exactly what they asked, but this is how I remember it. Why is the self, the capital S self, the truth, why does that seem to be so elusive to find, or elusive to see, or elusive to know? And so he asks him, who is it that, you know, who is it that says this I is elusive? And so he calls the I, the ignorant I, and the elusive I. both of which, if you spent any time with that in contemplation, both of which are constructs of the ego. I mean, would there be, is the truth of yourself elusive to you? To who? I mean, elusive to who? If it's the truth of who you are, how would it be possible that it could also be elusive to you? It is you. It's always been you. It's not like hiding the pickle, you know? It's not like some off in the future you that you find down the road. I have to search for forever and ever and ever. You know, we've said, you know, we say it seems so elusive, but I thought it was just like an outstanding question to ask. Who thinks it's elusive? Who's telling you that? And why would you listen? If you say, you know, for instance, your purpose is to know thyself in direct experience, and then you also say in the next breath that this elusive self is so hard to find, you're straddling a fence that falls on the side of the elusive self. It's like no man's land. There's nowhere to get from there. That's why he says, do not dwell in ways apart from me. I mean, don't be looking both ways. You can't have it both ways. You can't complain about how yourself is so hard to find, and it seems, you know, it is taking forever, and oh, woe is me, and all of that. And say you have full faith in who you really are, full trust in who you are. The truth is myself. So, you know, which is it? And that's why the first piece said, you are formed in the image you dwell upon. Which image do I dwell upon? And even the word image. You gravitate toward the object you love. Do I love objective, quote, reality? Am I always focused outward? And just for me, you are formed in the image you dwell upon. Turning within in awareness, watching awareness meditation, we are often told that, you know, if you don't, if nothing happens, Michael Langford says, it's wonderful. It's perfect. If it's pure silence, and there's nothing going on, and there's nothing to see, and there's nothing being thought about, and there's just nothing going on. There's nothing there. That's like that song, Heaven is a Place Where Nothing Ever Happens. It says, you are formed in that image, that pure silence. You, the real you. You are formed in the image you dwell upon. And that's why we're asked to turn our attention away from all the ways that are apart from awareness, which would be objective reality, looking out, getting caught up in thoughts, perception, my attention focused every place but inside. We can be formed in that image, or we can be formed in the truth of who we are. Pure, unsullied, Silence, where nothing ever happens. Yeah, instantly turn from division, not two lives. And even Michael Langford, when he talks about awareness, watching awareness, he says many, many times, it's not two awarenesses, it's one awareness. It's one awareness. Instantly turn from division, not two lives, not two loves, not two ways of living. Appreciate your soul. Encourage it to look to me. And silent joy. Hey, oh my gosh, my time is up, like my 3 minutes. Whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, hang on. In silent joy, you will find rest. I am so sorry. I did not notice I have gone over my hour. I apologize to Miss Jacqueline. Let me let go of the mic. Thanks. Can you guys hear me now? Oh, I was laughing. I forgot it was an hour. Yeah, I just lost my mind there for a minute. I was like, oh my God, because I think I used to finish like 10:30 to 11:30. I think I used to finish on the half hour before. So when I saw it was 2:35, I thought, oh my God. I thought I was hogging your time, Jacqueline. Let me grab a drink of water. Oh gosh. Okay, appreciate your soul. Encourage it to look to me. In silent joy, you will find rest. Have no thought of separation in your mind. Have only one realization of life. Dwell on life, and life will be born in your mind. There is nothing to meet in me but love. Love now, love tomorrow, love forever. And I have to say, with that particular line, there is nothing to meet in me but love. I have hesitation around that still. And maybe it's just because of that hammering into my head from the time I was, a very young child and going to church 6 days a week, because I was in Catholic school until eighth grade, and we had to go to church before we actually went to school. And then we went on Sundays as well. And so that fear of God or the wrath of God, not so much the wrath of God, it was more like just a fear of God. Like Jesus was definitely different than me, better than me. I didn't measure up. I wasn't good enough and never would be, those kinds of ideas. So even now, when I see this offering, this gorgeously beautiful offering, there is nothing to meet in me but love. There's that little voice, which is obviously the voice of the ego that I'm noticing that says, you still need to be a little bit afraid. Even the people that, talk through going through the eye of the needle, like Hawkins, David Hawkins, his description of that in the little clip that we were to watch in Gentle Healing, he had such a somber, sober, expression on his face as he was describing that minute or two of his experience going through the eye of the needle. But he didn't look like he was like, oh joy, at all. He it was it felt like more stark terror to me, and I don't really like to be afraid. I don't really want to be scared like that. I'm just saying, I don't. That sort of like experience, it's like, God, who likes? I don't like scary movies. I don't like scary stuff. And so when I hear people describe the experience, I always think, why would I want to do that? I mean, it's a little bit of a freak out in my mind somehow. And again, that's just the ego once again stepping in and offering like its own set of series of thoughts, scary thoughts, reinforcing what it doesn't even know. I just got through reading to you guys, that the awakening process, it is what it may not always seem to be. Trust the awakening process. It is what it may not always seem to be. That seem to be part of it is all that I just shared with you about what I think that, this conjured up for me. There is nothing to meet in me but love. And that little voice of mine kicks in right away. Don't take that in, hook, line, and sinker, Kathy. There is nothing to meet in me but love. Love now. Love tomorrow, love forever. Let the spirit of my words fill you. Miracles are performed through love. My word courses through you in waves upon waves of light. Not uttering a sound. In feeling only, you are receiving. Feeling only my love, while love flows steadily from your heart. Arise in the radiant dawn. Arise in the warmth of tender love. Beyond the scope of man's vain desire, in realms where even thought is too poignant to reach, joy loosens the fetters of man's false construction. I'm going to read that one more time. That was just arise in the radiant dawn, arise in the warmth of tender love. Beyond the scope of man's vain desire, in realms where even thought is too poignant to reach, joy loosens the fetters of man's false construction. The lips are oft-times false. Do not be deceived by your own fair words. Open the soul's secret door. Uncover your deep, deep desire and see that you are true throughout your being. As a personality, you are in a shell. Do not rest within your shell. Let there be no false movements, no concealed protest. Watch that you are not unprepared. Be so serenely true that nothing can take you unawares. I love that. Watch that you are not unprepared. And that, you know, right away for me, I will step back and let him lead the way. My attention is with my attention, but I'm stepping back into what I'm going to call a subservient role. I look to the Father for guidance. I look to intuition to lead me. I look to guidance to show me what's next. And in that way, I'm not unprepared. But if the mind kicks in and the thoughts kick in about, and I need to do this and this and this and this and this, and I'm getting all stressed out about it and bent out of shape over it, and it's not going well, and that sort of preparation is, what's that preparing for? More hell. That's all that prepares for. Watch that you are not unprepared. Be so serenely true, true to yourself, true to yourself. Yourself deserves your attention. Your true self deserves your attention. Be so serenely true that nothing can take you unawares. Doesn't matter what happens externally in a worldly sense in your day-to-day life. Silently repeat, there is only one life, and I am one with this one life. Silently repeat, there is only one life, and I am one with this one life. Everything is revealed when you ring true. Ding, 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 guys. Everything is revealed when you ring true. Be true in your emotional nature. True in the soul's realm. True in the heart's vision. Definite understanding comes as you are true. Form is not molded through thought alone, but through trueness of purpose. That is why one soul succeeds and another fails for the time being. This means trueness in dealing with your heart and mind and world now, not only with other personalities, but with yourself. Come forth and know your wholeness now. Accumulated burdens are being gently washed away in the outflowing breath of love. Fear increases fear. Uncertainty draws uncertainty. Beloved, be whole in your desire. Keep one meditation and rejoice in your one meditation. Truth, freedom, love. Be one pointed. One work must be accomplished. Go forth softly, quietly. I think it's beautiful that the word work, a few pages back, we were told that the word work means watchful love. And so the one work must be accomplished. Watchful love as the one must be accomplished. Go forth softly, quietly. That was a beautiful section. Okay. I find this this reading to be very calming. Yeah. Quieting. It is quieting. So this next piece is called Joy. Love, yeah, feels nurturing. I agree, Ian. It just fills me up. It just fills me up. That's all I can say about it. An affirmation of truth, truth, truth. You are the foundation of my life, oh truth. That is what I want to remember. That is the outflowing breath of life that washes away the accumulated burdens. When my mind is focused on fear, I increase the fear. I feed that into the the collective system. Is that really what I want? Uncertainty draws uncertainty. Who likes to be uncertain? Why would I not rely on the one who knows and just stay with I don't know? Be one pointed, one work, you know, one work. Watchful love, that's all I'm being asked. Watchful love. Go forth softly, quietly. It's not asking a whole lot. And this piece called Joy says, love comes from living day by day in your source. Day by day, I mean, in the everyday living, you know. Whether it's going to the doctor's office or to the, you know, funny how it goes, you know, when you move and you don't have a doctor, you talk to Anne about your doctor actually calling you on the phone and you had an appointment the next day. Around here, it just doesn't quite work that way. And so to have any sort of situation, I feel like Wolf Blitzer in the Situation Room. When you have any sort of situation or emergency, you cannot get into a doctor here for like 2 or 3 months. And so you're, it's like, okay, so now what? And so you have to go to like either the hospital or emergency care. So I had an infected finger and had to go three times in 1 week to the emergency care. And so when those things go on, those are my opportunities to, be with the pain. Yeah. To be with the love despite the pain, to acknowledge that, this doesn't seem to be like the loving all method. I don't seem to be loving this intense pain right now. I don't seem to be loving the upset stomach that comes with the antibiotic, horse pills. I don't seem to be, I'm accepting it. I'm accepting it because it is. I mean, it is. It's going on. It's pretty. It's an existing condition. It's like Karen Wirth tells us in our meditation. The thing she knows is that I exist, and then she drops back into the awareness of that existence. And so, in those situations where we find ourselves just in this day-to-day life. It's talking about. It says love comes from living day by day in your source, whatever the day brings, whatever it brings. We label that stuff good stuff and bad stuff, but it's really not. Every piece of it is an opportunity, every piece of it. And the miracle is the change of mind when there's a full acceptance, not just a full acceptance, but a loving of the infected finger, the opportunity to learn what it is I need to learn, to see what it is I need to see, to know what it is I need to know. But I'm not there yet. Yeah, reconditioning our minds to accept all and love all. And even Anne, you mentioned being in church and kind of noticing the things you noticed about the ceremony or the mass or wherever it was you were. And I still have that happen where when I get together with family and there's an occasion where they all go to church together as a family where I go as well, and I find myself like groaning inside or like, oh God, I can't, I'm so glad I don't do this anymore. And I find myself judging, and it's like, just pick up on the pieces that resonate with your heart, Kathy, and look beyond the rest of it. Let it go. Again, it's only my own thoughts torturing me in a situation that's not torture at all. I could be saying a mantra in my mind. I could be in full devotion during that time. Instead, I'm wasting it judging something that doesn't need that attention at all. No joy there. So, love comes from living day by day in your source, in an atmosphere of stillness. The breathing spirit of oneness radiates. Know yourself as one. Beloved, consciously seek living, breathing joy, oneness with joy, and let joy rise throughout your surrounding sphere. Include this all surrounding joy in your thought of me. Sense the smiling feeling ever back of you, ever with you, in you. I love that. Sense the smiling feeling ever back of you, ever with you, in you. I love that. Joy rises from the eternal depths, the source of life. My light, your light, one inseparable, indivisible. Ask to see me ever, to know me ever. Let the last burden go. Cast it from you into my white light. Do not let the hour of perfection be pushed from you as impossible of attainment. The hour of the presence is the hour of the present. Wow. Wow. I'm just gonna end with let the last burden go. Cast it from you into my white light. That seems like the perfect ending, and I see that it's 2:59. And I just wanted to thank you all for being with me and sharing this time. I left off on page 216, and I'm about halfway down in the section called Joy. So I'm going to give up the mic. Thanks, guys. I'll be listening, Jacqueline.